What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 1st. Yes, we are in August of this baseball season, 2 months to go. Happy Friday. And we are going to talk about baseball. I just want to give you guys a heads up. Next week on Sunday night, I am traveling to Austria for a full week and I'll be back Tuesday morning. So that means no streams until August 11th, is it? 12th? I believe August 12th, I will not have any streams until then. I will be trying as best as I can to do the Plus Pitch podcast while I'm there. I apologize in advance that I might have to skip some of those guys. So keep that in mind. The audio only, not the video. And I'm going there for a wedding. So going to be a wild time. Also, I'll be in Brooklyn at the Other Half Brewery in Red Hook. Not the one in Williamsburg, guys. The one's in Red Hook. On Saturday, tomorrow, August 2nd, starting at 3:30 till about like 6 or so, maybe 7 o'clock. This is an auto-new meetup. That's Niv Shah. The founder of Fangraphs, David Appleman, will also be there. Come on by. It's going to be great. Jay Jaffe. Oh, I love that guy. He'll be there too. Just hang out. It's going to be a great time in Red Hook in Brooklyn at the Other Half Brewery. Not the one in Williamsburg. Red Hook. All right. Yesterday, we had all these trades. I'll be going over those at the end of this podcast. But starting pitchers, well, we need to have a pep talk about Ryan Pepiot. 4 innings of 7 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks against the Yankees. And I will mention, he had a lot of bad fortune here. One, he got squeezed on a 3-2 pitch. That was a walk, but it wasn't. We had a pop-up from Goldschmidt that landed and was a double, which it wasn't. And then Bellinger hit a single. And then, oh boy, Giancarlo Stanton had a 3-run shot on a slider that was just so bad. It was 88 or so down the pipe and just tanked in the way that Stanton does. And I gotta say, Stanton home runs just hit different. But this wasn't fun. And then in the following inning, or maybe it wasn't the following inning, but later in the game, Ben Rice got a 92-mile-per-hour cutter that was a complete cement mixer down the pipe that he took out for another 3-run shot. And I think what's so important, I try to phrase this all the time, is that when it comes to starting pitchers, it's very easy to just see a clunker and say, well, he was bad. Or to see a really good start and say, oh, he was really good. And we forget that a good or a bad line is sometimes a product of just one or two moments in a game, right? And they could swing dramatically one way or the other. And this certainly was one where, look, Pepiot did not have his slider and cutter working. I mean, he did actually throw some really good ones outside of those two, but those were really bad mistakes and he should have been punished for them. Should it have been 6 earned runs for 2 pitches? No, but he did put himself in that position. At the same time, we see people wrangle out of those situations all the time. So it's really hard for us to say, well, he was so good beforehand, 3.42 ERA and a 1.15 whip in 126 innings before this game against the Yankees, which was a questionable start because the Yankees are an elite offense, even without Judge. And now his ERA is 3.8 with a 1.18 whip from one game, really from 2 pitches, right? Just keep that in your mind. What we're trying to do is about the future and not the past. And yes, the past absolutely helps us understand what will be in the future. He can't just be one random thing out of nowhere for the most part. But he's the same guy. It's the same exact pitcher entering his next game that he was yesterday, okay? Don't change. Don't drop. Just keep going with Ryan Pepiot. It's all right. He is the cherry bomb, though. That's what he is. George Kirby against the Rangers. Got the win. 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. I love the fact that he was able to nail down the Blake Snell blueprint with left-handers. 4 seamers upstairs, sinkers in the middle, and sliders down and inside to them. Beautiful. But the right-handed pitches, no, those were not it. Fastballs were kind of too erratic. Sinker was just kind of there, and same with the slider. And you're so close, Kirby. But I know, it was a great game, blah, blah, blah. It was at the tee, and it was against the Rangers, who aren't the greatest offense, and he's still good. I'm just trying to say, Kirby, I want you to be that full thing, and then you can maybe even be a top 10 pitcher if you are actually executing those two all the time. On the other side of it was Kumar Rocker, and he went 4.2 innings with 3 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. So one aspect of the trade deadline that I will get to at the end of this again is guys getting displaced from their rotation spots or people getting more opportunities. And Kumar Rocker looks like the guy who's going to be displaced by Merrill Kelly getting added. Now, it could be Jack Leiter instead. We're going to see how Leiter performs here, and I think they're going to make a decision. But I'll be honest with you, maybe Jacob Latz should be the guy instead that gets opportunities. I'm just going to throw that out there just because, well, Jacob Latz isn't terrible. You know, and maybe he is actually okay. So, I don't know. I feel if you have Kumar Rocker, I'm glad that he threw all these cutters. That's really cool. But I don't think that he's really a guy that you should be chasing in the slightest, right? And by the way, Jacob Latz did not throw three innings. So, you know, it's not, it probably isn't him in the next one. I'm just saying, Kumar Rocker, don't go after. Okay. It's a good cutter. And then he doesn't have anything else. Andrew Abbott against Atlanta. 5.1 innings of 2 runs, 5 hits, 5 walks, and 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Andrew Abbott, what? You had this really bad start, and then you came back, and you're like, I'm fine. And then you had this. This was just... his three main pitches, four-seamer, curve, and change were just not there. All sub-60% strikes. I gave him a new nickname, and I'm probably not going to stick with it, which is the Sober Stuttering Canadian, because he's AA. And I'm probably not going to lean into that one. I don't know. You let me know. But yeah, you just keep going with Andrew Abbott. You have Carlos Carrasco and Marcus Stroman as well going. It's kind of weird. Wait, hold on a second. Aren't they both the Yankees? No, remember Carlos Carrasco is now in Atlanta because they needed anything to start. 6 innings, 3 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks for a poor quality start. So he would have been the correct streaming play and not Kumar Rocker. But it was a no decision. And maybe you could say even Marcus Stroman getting the win in 5 innings, 4 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks is better. Both of those guys you don't want to be starting. Marcus Stroman is likely out of the rotation with Luis Gil entering over the weekend. And he'll be back at some point, I'm sure, because something will go on. Maybe Will Warren getting limited in some way, or Cam Schlittler. They're like, you know what? Maybe want you in the pen instead, which I would hate. But I'm honestly just shocked the Yankees didn't get someone at the back end of it. Everyone keeps saying that the price on pitching was so high, which is kind of odd for a lot of these volume arms instead. But I guess what I'm getting at is, I don't know, Marcus Stroman, you don't want your teams. Carlos Carrasco, you don't want your teams. He was 91-92. All right, I'm going to review all of the starting pitching moves from yesterday's trades and then kind of tell you the impact of those. And I'm going to do that after this break. So let's go through it. Merrill Kelly to the Rangers. That's good. It's +7 outs above average in the infield versus the -7 of the Diamondbacks. So his value goes up. And that's really good. It's the same thing in outfield defense on both teams. So you should probably get a better win chance, maybe-ish. And you get the better defense. Really, the better defense is the main thing there. Michael Soroka to the Cubs. Phenomenal for him. I mean, that is also a phenomenal defense. And much better of a winning team than the Nationals. I'm actually surprised just because the curveball was so bad in the game before. But I think teams making deals like that should really apply to us. Like, yeah, right, we shouldn't really care that the curveball was bad in one start. We know that's going to be better. Nestor Cortez and JP Sears are both going to the Padres. Nestor Cortez should be back relatively soon. He will replace Randy Vasquez in this. And because Dylan Cease has not gone, that's actually a really good rotation now. We're a rotation that was really struggling. I mean, it was Pivetta and Cease alone with three randos essentially for a bit. And then Darvish showed up again. And then you add Sears and you add Cortez. And now you have actually a full five rotation. Not Randy Vasquez or Kolek or Berger and so on. And we'll get to Berger later. I mean, really, Berger and Kolek, fine, to Kansas City. Berger is interesting for next year. I actually predicted he would get traded on Tuesday inside the ESPN Roundup. And I love that he's in Kansas City because they should be throwing him every 5 days. It's a situation where his four-seamer is good if they go upstairs with it. Slider is good if it goes downstairs. It is like a discount version of your Spencer Strider, Hunter Green, Jared Jones, Chase Burns types. Discount. And I'm curious if Cole Reagan's going to be, yo, you should go to Tread Athletics. And maybe you'll get fined another pitch and throw a little bit harder. Because if he does that, then I'm very much circling him for 2026. Also, with Stephen Kolek, not interested in that. He's just too blah, and I don't think that they're going to be pushing Kolek, and if he does, I'm just not interested. So going back to Sears and Cortez, I love the situation for Cortez. I think they're going to work with him well in San Diego. JP Sears was pitching some of his best ball in Oakland, in Sacramento, I guess, before getting dealt. And I do wonder if they will squeeze more out of it with JP Sears. He is a little bit wild. I just want him to go four seamers up, changeups down, and sweepers in between. We'll see what happens there. Speaking of Kansas City Royals, though, they also got Bailey Falter. I was so close. I've been saying Bailey Falter to the Rays for years, and it was to the Royals. It was instead of R-A-Y, it was R-O-Y. So close. But Bailey Falter is there now, and I honestly am not excited about this one. I was really looking forward to Falter going to one of those organizations that we have circled as a premier pitching organization that can say, look, you have this great extension. We are going to now really work with you to figure out what you should be doing for that. And I don't really trust the Royals. They keep adding these guys who already kind of finished. I don't see too many changes in season for players. What about Cole Riggins? That was Tread Athletics. The Royals did nothing. So I don't have faith in Falter there, unfortunately. Mick Abel might be my most circled one here, because Mick Abel is going to Minnesota, and Minnesota sent guys away. They sent Chris Paddock away. They sent Louis Varland away. Simeon Woods Richardson is there right now, and you have David Festa, who's hurt, and it's Joe Ryan, and Pablo Lopez is hurt. Long story short, Mick Abel looks to be ready to go in that rotation. Bailey Ober is coming back, but I would think that they would want to get him going right away. But he was sent to AAA. Doesn't matter, because his first start could be Tuesday. And that would mean that he's in AAA, and it would be the same thing. It's not an option. It doesn't require him to be down there for 15 days, 10, 15 days. So he could start on Tuesday, and I think that's what's going to happen. I would be picking up Mick Abel everywhere. I think Mick Abel is a premier talent. I think he just needed a little bit more time in Philly. And it's unfortunate that's not the situation in Philly anymore, that is in Minnesota. Still, he now has security in moving forward. And I love that for the Twins. Trading Duran to get Mick Abel, I think, is actually a really good move for them. I kind of like him more than Zebby Matthews, if you can believe it. So I've picked him up in leagues. I think Zebby and Mick and Joe Ryan and Pablo Lopez for the next at least 2 years could be a fascinating, fascinating crew in Minnesota. And throwing Festa in there, like, that is really cool. Now it's just about finding offense, and you got to pay for that, I guess, in the offseason. I don't know. You have Charlie Morton going to Detroit from Baltimore, which really affects Troy Melton. And I'm so sad about this, because Troy Melton, another premier talent to me, and he's going to be in relief. It's just what it is. Now, I will mention, Charlie Morton doesn't have the best track record of health. And if anything stumbles inside of this, like Chris Paddock is there, Casey Mize, Reese Olson, and Jack Flaherty, if any of those have to take some time off, it does feel as if Troy Melton should be the guy. That said, if they're moving him to the pen and as a kind of a closer almost, you might not see that move, right? You might see them keep him there because he won't be stretched out. And when you think about the playoffs, they might just be going Mize, Olson, and Flaherty really as a 1-2-3 there. Then you have Morton, and then you have maybe SGL is okay, probably not. Or then you have Alex Cobb. I'm probably forgetting one other Tigers starter here that could be of impact. But yeah, I kind of wish that Troy Melton was still around, because I feel like he might actually squirm his way into that rotation. Oh, Scooble. Scooble exists. I'm being so dumb. But yeah, so that's the situation in Detroit. It's very sad in my view. I don't like it, but so it goes, and you should be circling Troy Melton for 2026. You have Adrian Hauser going to the Rays, and you have Zach Littell going to the Reds, and Taj Bradley going to Minnesota. So Taj Bradley in Minnesota, don't really care, honestly. It's nice for him to get out of there, but I really don't think he's... I don't think he has the ability really to fix his command. Zach Littell to the Reds. You guys know how I feel about Zach Littell. I don't think that's really going to work well for your fantasy teams. Adrian Hauser to the Rays. Makes sense. He's a good volume guy. Extension arm. I think they'll actually continue to make him better, honestly. So I think it's a really good move for Adrian Hauser. And I would consider him continuously in 15-teamers. 12-teamers maybe. Depends on the schedule moving forward. For Hauser... And that actually might be beneficial. Let's see here. For Adrian Hauser, It's the Angels first, which isn't good, but then it would be at Seattle and then at San Francisco. So I think you just kind of roll with that. And 12 teamers, if you feel like you can't drop them, then all right, then fine. We just go through for all three of those. Dustin May to Boston. I cannot believe that trade. I think it's unreal. Maybe James Tibbs III is just not highly regarded. What are the Giants doing drafting him 13th overall last year? I don't know. But that is a massive overpay to me. I feel that, honestly, Richard Fitz is better than Dustin May right now. And maybe the Red Sox can pull that cutter out from him and really make that work. I'm excited to see it. But the fact that this is a rental, man, I don't really have much faith in it. You can obviously keep an eye on Dustin May, really see how the first start goes and then kind of take it from there. It would be the Royals on the 6th for Dustin May, or it could be actually be sooner, maybe against Houston this weekend, and then they bump everyone down. We'll see how that goes, because he did pitch on Sunday, so theoretically he could go over the weekend and then just give everybody a little extra day of rest. We'll see. I'm not really excited about it. You have Chris Paddock to the Troy, as I mentioned before. I think that's just a good fit, and I really confuse Paddock and Mize all the time, so that's not going to help anything. But yeah, it's the same kind of Paddock, and I think Paddock was a little bit underrated before, and now at least he has a higher win chance. I mentioned Louis Varland to the Jays. I wonder what that's going to be like in 2026, but he's just going to be used as a reliever for now. I still have some hope that Varland can put it together, but he really hasn't had that command to really showcase that he can really be that stud pitcher. You have Shane Bieber also to the Jays, which I find fascinating. And I think that's a great play for the Jays just to see, like, you know what? Maybe this really can turn, he can turn it around and be good for the playoffs, because the Jays are sitting pretty right now. And to get a guy like Bieber who could be an impact playoff arm, awesome deal. I think that's a really great move by them. I would say that as far as the rotation goes, you might have a six man when Bieber does return. And because Eric Lauer has just been so good, it does move away like Easton Lucas, who was kind of interesting for a moment, but I'm not going to obviously consider that. And I think really they're just going to roll with the sixth man, you know, make things easy for all their starters to be ready to go for the playoffs, take advantage of the fact that you get these decent outings from Eric Lauer. Like, it's not like you just lose games because you have this extra starter, right? Like, it still gives you a good chance. And I think that's very much worthwhile for the health of that rotation. I think a lot of teams should honestly be just doing six-man all the time, and that's just me. Ryan Gusto to the Marlins is hilarious. Why is that hilarious? Because his first expected start is against Houston, his former team. And that was kind of like how Nestor Cortez had that situation during this year. But at the very least, I like that Gusto is going to get an opportunity in Miami. I can't believe that Eric Cabrera and Sandy Alcantara were not dealt, but fine. The price was just so high on everyone. Zach Gallen not dealt is crazy to me. But okay, I guess they'd like the qualifying offer versus what they were getting back. Fine. But yeah, Gusto isn't going to be someone to chase. And last, maybe least, is Steven Matz to the Red Sox. That is your depth piece. That is your, if everything goes badly and we need another arm because we don't really have too many we like ready to go, Steven Matz is better than whatever replacement that would be, and that's why he's there. I would not touch that. One more is Mason Miller to the Padres. Why am I mentioning him? Because there's talks of him possibly being a long-term play and back as a starter for 2026. And the way I see it, I think Mason Miller shouldn't be doing that for his health. I think he's found a thing that works for him, and it's actually a lot easier to keep a guy healthy if he's in the pen for obvious reasons. You can space it out a lot more. You can make him do that max effort incredibleness and rest him however he needs. It's not as immediate as going every 5 days or whatever it is. So you can manage it a lot more. For Mason Miller, that is money in the bank for him. And I don't think that the Padres are doing this with the expectation of making him a starter. That's just kind of how I feel about it. I think it would be unwise. However, selfishly, I would love Mason Miller to be a starter because, man, I would love to cover him again fully. He is so fun. But that's really it for all the trades from yesterday. I might be missing one or two. It's possible. It's possible. I apologize if I am, but I don't think so. I think we got through all of them. And it was a fun day. I hope you enjoyed it. It was just a great time hanging out with Paul Spohr and Eric Samulski and Justin Mason and all of you hanging out in inside of playback. I do want to mention Brandon Young is going to get some starts now because Charlie Morton is gone. So at the very least, that is an impact of that trade deadline that, like, I don't really love it. I don't think that Brandon Young is that good. That's why I led with him earlier this week. But there's some opportunity, I guess, and we'll see how that plays out for the Orioles. But that is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. Consider getting PL Pro. It goes so far for us, and you get incredible fantasy tools. You get access to our amazing Discord, an ad-free website, our live draft assistant. We have a ton of preseason tools that we are improving again for next year just for you guys. We do not stop. You also get early access in the preseason and offseason for my starting pitcher breakdowns. And then you also get access to Scott Chu's early hitter rankings. You'll get the write-ups and early rankings for them, and then the full one will be public with everybody in February. So don't worry. It's the same thing for everybody every year of making it free on the same time. But if you want an early look at that stuff, you can support us with PL Pro. You can get 15% off with promo code PODCAST. PODCAST, all in caps, PODCAST. To get 15% off PL Pro yearly. All right, that is it. Thank you all so much for everything you do. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.